that everything that was available to Jesus is available to you, then you don't have to put up with nothing as far as sickness and disease and the devil and pain. Anytime the devil comes to you, or if he puts a thought in your mind to sin, all you've got to do is let the Spirit be in control, and the Spirit immediately will kick you back away from that sin. You will not even entertain the thoughts of that sin. You will kick it away, and you'll walk into God kind of love, because you'll walk just like Jesus did. Somebody says, it's not possible for me to walk like Jesus. Well, it's not as long as you think like that. But when you begin to meditate on the Word of God, I begin to realize that you are, according to the book of Romans, in Romans 8, in the scripture that we read here a while ago, verses 15, or 15 and 16, 17 and 18, Romans 8, we are literally a joint heir with Christ, and everything that was available to Christ is available to you. Now then, after you get a hold of that, that you're a joint heir with Christ, and everything and all the promises of God are yes and amen, you'll be able to do some great and wonderful things. You'll start walking holy. You'll walk in obedience to God's word. And you will learn how to pray. You'll learn how to take authority. And then you'll learn how to believe the word of God. Because if you're a joint heir with Christ, and everything that was available to Jesus is available to you, then John 14:12 comes into effect. John chapter 14, verse 12, when you learn that you're seated in the heavens, and you learn that you're a joint heir with Christ, and you'll learn that everything that was available to Jesus is available to you, then John 14:12, Jesus makes you this promise. He said, to anyone that believes in me, not only shall you do what I have been doing, but greater things than these that I've done shall you do in my name. We have the name of Jesus. And when we speak the name of Jesus in faith, nothing is hard. Nothing's difficult. We try to make everything too hard. I've been to a few churches where people get violent and pray and scream and push people down and all kinds of things. I've seen all that. That may be okay. If that's where you want to live, that's okay. I'm not that type. I don't knock people down. I don't scream, not much. I maybe raise my voice a little when I get angry at the devil sometimes. But as a rule, to tell you how simple it is to get people set free, I had a lady that come to my church, to one of my healing schools. I teach a healing school at least one Saturday a month, sometimes twice, but right now we're only doing it one Saturday. The healing school is usually 4 or 5 hours long. So I teach people about sin, and that it's sin that allows the devil to come in to make them sick. And when they're walking in sin or unbelief of the promises of God, it always opens the door for the demonic world to come in and destroy you. So this lady, she came to one of my healing schools. Now on Friday, before she came to the healing school on Saturday, she had been back to the doctor to get the results of a bunch of tests that had been run because she hadn't been feeling well. She had no idea who she was in Christ. Absolutely no idea. The devil was beating up on her in a big way. Yet she was a Christian, going to a good church. Still, she had no idea, just like I was. But anyway, she picked up the results, and the doctor told her they wasn't sure what she had from the results of all the tests, that she had one of three different diseases, and of which the lesser of the three would be lupus. Well, now, lupus is a pretty serious disease. It'll kill you. Sometimes it takes a little bit longer, but it still kills you. Who would want that? Well, it's just a demon. It comes from the devil. But anyway, this woman, after she got this, and the doctor said, we don't know which one it is, but it could be one of these three, of which lupus is the least dangerous of the three. Well, on the way to the healing school, she prayed and asked the Lord, Lord, please let me have lupus. Now, I thought, boy, that's a crazy prayer. Who would ever pray a prayer like that? Only out of the lack of knowledge of God's word. Only out of the lack of knowledge of knowing who you are in Christ. Your identity with Christ, you don't have a clue who you are when you pray a prayer like that. But nearly everybody's been there. I guess I should say everyone has been there. None of us knew who we were in Christ at the beginning. But this lady, as she prayed that prayer and then came to the healing school and sat and listened to me teach the Word of God for about 4 or 5 hours that afternoon, from 1 o'clock Saturday afternoon till 4 or 5. At the end of the teaching, she came up for prayer. She said, "I had no idea about all these things that's in God's Word." See, I taught those to her in just one afternoon. It would be amazing what would happen if you'd get into the Word for many afternoons. But this was her first experience with a healing school. So she came to the healing school, and then she came up. She said, "I have repented of all of my sins." And first, before she said that, I said, "What's wrong with you?" And she said, "Well, from my elbows down on both arms, I have no feeling in my arms or my hands." I said, "What sin did you commit just before this problem happened?" And I said, "How many years have you had the problem?" She said, 15. So 15 years, she had no feeling from her elbows to her fingers. And immediately when I asked her, "What sin did you commit just before this happened?" Immediately, just like that, the Holy Spirit, our teacher, convicted her of a sin she had committed 15 years ago. She said, "Oh, my goodness." She said, "I know what I've done." I said, "Well, the Lord says repent." And he said, in Psalms 103, he said, "I am the God that forgives all of your iniquities, and then I'm the God that heals all of your diseases." So he put that in order in the Word of God. You got to realize the Word of God is an order. It's a book of order. I mean, perfect order. God didn't say, "I heal you, and then I forgive you." He said, "I forgive you, and then I heal you." So you have to do it his way. So when you come to the king and you ask him to forgive you, then he will heal you. So she asked the Lord to forgive her for the sin. And I told her, I said, "I don't need to know what the sin was. I don't know. I don't care what you did. All I want you to do is I want you to ask God to forgive you." And so she asked the Lord to forgive her of her sins. I said, "Now then that you've done that, are all your sins repented of?" She said, "Yes." I said, "Now you have no unforgiveness or nothing toward no one, because," I said, "if you carry unforgiveness, you cannot be healed." And she said, "No, I have everything confessed." Okay. So I reached up and took those two hands and laid my fingers on her shoulder, and just exactly like Mark 16:17-18 says, Jesus said in Mark chapter 16, verse 17 and 18, that these signs shall follow them that believe. Well, now then, I happen to be a believing believer, and by being a believing believer and knowing who I am in Christ, knowing I'm seated in the heavenlies, knowing I'm a joint heir with Christ, and knowing that everything that belongs to Jesus belongs to me, and that I'm being conformed into the image of Christ on this earth, and I'm supposed to do the same things he did, only greater than he did, according to John 14:12. Well, by faith, after her repentance, I reached up and touched her in the name of Jesus, commanded the demon that caused the problem with her arms, the blood flow, to leave and to not come back. And then I said, "Be healed in the name of Jesus," because that's what Mark 16:17-18 says. Lay your hands on the sick. First of all, it says command the demon to leave. After it says command the demon to leave, then it says lay your hands on the sick and they'll get well. Well, God made that very simple. I did it very quietly, very gently. And after I did this, I said, "Now, ma'am, it's done." She looked up at me and she said, "Is that all there is to it?" I said, "Yes, ma'am, that's it." I said, "I do my part, the natural, and God does the supernatural. I have nothing to do with it after this. It's totally up to the king." But I said, "He'll heal you, because he promised he would." She said, "You mean I'm not going to fall down?" I said, "No, ma'am, you don't have to fall down." I said, "If God don't knock you down, then you don't fall down." I said, "Unless he puts you on the floor," I said, "you keep standing." Well, she said, "Okay." So she said, "And it's this easy." I said, "Yes, ma'am, that's all there is to it." So she turned and walked back and reached down to pick up her purse to go home. And to her amazement, she could feel the purse for the first time in 15 years. She reached around with the other hand and grabbed the purse, and she could feel it with that hand too. The Lord, in that quick of a period of time, once she repented of that sin that she had committed 15 years ago, it took away the devil's legal right to her. She repented. And as she repented, then when I did what God says do, I touched her in the name of Jesus. He healed her. Well, she saw this, and after the next day, within one day's time, she said, wow. She come back to church the next day on Sunday. She said, this is so simple. All I got to do is repent and believe God, and I'm healed. I said, that's all there is to it. She said, then I don't have to have this lupus either, do I? I said, no, ma'am, you don't have to have anything, but your mouth is the worst enemy or the best friend you have. Because the Word of God says in Proverbs 18:21 that life and death is in the power of the tongue. I said, now, if you with that mouth keep confessing that I have lupus, I said, I guarantee you will have it. But if you say, no, Jesus bore my sickness and he removed my disease, according to Matthew 8:17. In Matthew 8:16, Jesus went about kicking out devils and healing all the sick to confirm what had been written by the prophet Isaiah over 700 years earlier in Isaiah 53:4-5, that he bore your sickness and removed your disease. He bore your infirmities or your weaknesses and healed all your diseases. Now, that's written in the Word of God. Now, if that's written in the Word of God, and you begin to learn who you are in Christ, you know you're seated in the throne of grace in the third heaven with him already. You know that you're a joint heir with Christ and everything that belonged to Jesus belongs to you. Once you get a hold of that, you can pray the prayer of faith for people. And not only can you pray the prayer of faith for people, if the devil tries to come upon you for any reason, and sometimes God will put you to the test and the enemy will come and attack you. When he does, you make sure that you're walking in obedience to God's word with no sin in your life, that you're spending quiet time with God, you're reading his word, you're talking to him, you're praising him, you're realizing that you are a joint heir with Christ and you're already seated in the third heaven, so you need to be talking to him on a regular basis every day, worshiping him and praising him. And when you worship and praise the King, then if the enemy tries to make you sick, you can rebuke him and drive him away, and you can have the privilege to walk in divine health. Praise the Lord Jesus. This is Thurman Scrivener with the Living Savior Ministries. We're teaching a series on divine health and how to walk in divine health. But these particular ones are talking about who you are in Christ. Because if you don't learn who you are in Christ, you will never be able to walk in divine health. We have to stop right there, but if you'd like these teachings in their entirety, if you would give us a call at 940-242-2106, 940-242-2106, or you can go to the web at www.tlsm.org, and there you can order all these things free and postpaid. And remember, Jesus is Lord.